Okay, if you'd like to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11. We've had a few messages from there, from the book of Matthew. Not that it's a theme or anything, but that's just the way the Lord's been working. And we're going to be looking at verses 28 to 30, well-known verses for us all. And the title of the message today, this afternoon, is Unshakable Inner Faith, Strength. Unshakable Inner Strength. And we'll start with we'll read the text and then we'll come back to it. So verse 28 to 30, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If we look at verse 20 there of chapter 11, we read, "Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not." And we see Jesus here, he's predicting judgment because of his rejection, judgment because of his direction. And it says that in verse 21, he says, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethesda, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." You know, the kingdom of heaven had been announced as at hand by John the Baptist in chapter 3, verse 2. It had been announced by the Lord himself in chapter 4, verse 7. And also in chapter 10, verse 7, the disciples went out and announced that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And it was also attested to by mighty works. And all of that had been rejected. The places chosen for the testing of the nation, Chorazin and Bethesda and other places, have rejected both Jesus and John, and the rejected king now speaks of judgment. And that judgment in verses 22 through to verse 27. Now the final rejection, the official rejection we could say, you find later in Matthew 27, but after speaking of judgment to come, Jesus then turns his attention to a new message. And that's our text this morning. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden light." So the rejected king now turns from the rejecting nation of Israel, and he offers not the kingdom. He's not offering the kingdom here, but he's offering rest and service to such as those who are conscious of the need. Now, this is a pivotal point in the ministry of Jesus. This is a new message of Jesus. It is not the kingdom, it now turns to personal discipleship. The Lord now makes a personal appeal to the individual. Now the Lord tells us in Hebrews 12:6, that whom he loveth he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, you know, we need to think how petty our complaining is. When we're complaining about our lot in life, how petty that is. You know, that we our Lord, this is personal, and he's bringing us into the place where we can have such sweet communion with himself. And yet many, we groan and we murmur, and at times we say, "Lord, let me be like other people." And Jesus asks us all, he says in verse 29, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." See, Jesus asks us, he says, I want you to get in the other end of the yoke. He says, my yoke is easy. Jesus is asking us, he's saying, get alongside with me and we'll pull together. Now, are you and I identified with the Lord like that, in the yoke with him? You know, we are called by the Lord to be in service with him. Now, what a blessing as a believer to be in the yoke with our Lord. Now, if we are, then we'll thank God for the pressure of his hand upon our life. You know, Isaiah 40, 29 tells us, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. You see, God comes and he takes us out of our superficial, emotional, how will we put it, the pretending but lacking a true depth of feeling lives. He takes us out of the complaining, and he wants to turn it into a song of victory and praise. And the only way to know the strength of God is to get in that yoke with Jesus. Learn of him and find the rest he wants to give. Now that word take is speaking to us of our decision. Our decision as believers, we are called to be harnessed to the Lord and to work right alongside him. And he has invited us to come and share in his great work in, brothers and sisters, what we can see is a very, very needy world. Think of this. The Lord himself invites us, the believer, to get in step with him, to be his helpers, as though he needed our help, and work with him. What an amazing invitation that is, and how few there be that truly respond to it. You know, I'm trying to think, could there be any greater privilege in this world than to be yoked together with Christ? To be shoulder to shoulder with him, to take each step in step with him. Amazing. We are given the opportunity to plow the unplowed, to plant in the unplanted fields of this world right alongside with him, in which others can then come along later planting the precious seeds of the gospel. Then why such a superficial walk? Why such complaining? Why such defeat? Why such despondency is there in the Christian's life? Simple, they don't want the yoke of submission and surrender, and they're willing to wallow in the sickness of not trusting and believing Christ can do all that they need, supply all they need. It's unbelief. They say no to all things are possible with God, Matthew 19:26. Jesus gives the invitation to take, but it's our responsibility, our decision to take. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Ye shall find. That's a promise. We are to learn of Jesus. Now, the Bible meaning there is to be informed, to get knowledge, How? By using and practicing. You see, we are to be changing. We are to be developing. We are to be... The taking is our decision. The developing is our learning. Nehemiah 8:10 reminds us, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Not maybe. Not I hope so. It is. Now, where do saints get their joy from? Now, if we didn't know some believers, we would say, oh, well, he or she, they've got nothing to bear. They're always on top of life. Nothing's ever bothering them. Well, I would encourage you to lift the veil, have a good look, learn something. The fact that there is peace, the fact that there is light, the fact there is the joy of God, the fact those things are there is proof that there is a burden there also. You see, the burdens that God allows, the burden that God places into a believer's life squeezes the grapes and out comes the wine. The weight of the wine press squeezes the wine out of the grapes. But for some people, they only see the wine. They don't see the pressure that produces the wine. And they go, oh, well, you know, there's nothing ever happens that goes wrong with those people's lives. They need to look and have a good look behind the scenes. Most only see the wine. And on they go complaining. But those who have learned that the joy of the Lord is their strength have gone through and are probably still going through extreme trials, extreme hardships, many losses, and their strength has been perfected in weakness. Why? They're in the yoke with Jesus. Now listen, no power on earth, no power in hell can conquer the Spirit of God in a human spirit. It is an unshakable inner strength. Now, if you have the wine in you, and I'm not talking about the wine you drink. I'm talking about the whining and complaining. If you have the wine in you, then deal with it. Deal with it ruthlessly. Get rid of it. Have no pity with it. Just kick it out, because it is a positive crime to be weak in God's strength. I want you to understand that. Now, Jesus has just finished telling the people that he was the only one who knew the Father in verse 27. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. They didn't know him. And if they wanted to know the Father, then they would have to come to Jesus for the Father to be revealed. That's what verse 27 is telling us. This is a statement of truth. There's no lie here. This is the absolute truth of the gospel. No one can know the Father but through the Son. No way did they like what they heard, especially the religious leaders. They rejected Jesus because he was meek and lowly. They didn't want a meek king. They wanted a king that would put his foot firmly on the Roman neck of oppression. But the Lord wants us to learn of him. He has called us to come into the yoke with him and to learn the truth about the Son, but also, and it's very important, to learn the truth about ourselves. our learning should be characterized by an ever-growing hold on the present state of our lives and that wonderful eternal time to come. Now, the present state of a believer's life, that God's word is very clear. It says in Romans 8:31 that we are more than what? Tell me. Conquerors through who? Jesus. Man, that makes you want to run and look for the yoke, doesn't it? So you can get into it. What was the Lord's last will and testament before he left this earth? John 14:27. My peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. So our hearts should never be troubled, should never be afraid. We should not wallow in defeat, but be in the yoke with Jesus, press forward in victory. What about the eternal? Where do we begin with the eternal? Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death. No more death. Think about that. No more funeral directors. Isn't that going to be amazing? No more hearses. No more grave diggers. Neither sorrow. That'll put a lot of psychologists out of work. Nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things that are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said, write unto me, for these words are true and faithful. Now there is no denying at all of the hardships of life, especially the Christian life. But believers should never deny the undeniable and inner strength they possess to be overcomers. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. You see, the word take is our decision. The word learn is our development. The word find is our discovery. What do we find? That word means obtain, get, to discover. We discover that rest unto your souls. Now, this is a pledge or a promise from the very lips of the Lord himself. The condition is answering the invitation. Come, get in the yoke. The rest is the truth, or the secret, for want of a better word, of true service for the King. Now, there's plenty of wine, there's plenty of sweet juice that has been under the weight of the press, but it comes without the whining and the complaining and the whinging. That's the wine we don't want to see. True service is not about some feverish anxiety or constant pressure or restless activity, you know, having to meet endless deadlines or having some exhausting haste. Yes, absolutely, there's a lot of work to be done, but these are to be accomplished for God. But all acceptable service always results with our rest in him. That's what he's trying to tell us about getting into the yoke. And it was interesting, one of the main reasons for the word rest in this verse is recreation. So when we're serving the Lord, when we're in the yoke with the Lord, it's not to the point where we just blow out completely and cannot do any more. We find true rest and peace in his service. And all acceptable service, and it's not just serving in the church alone, the Lord's talking about our life. our character, our what we believe about him, what we believe about his ability. These are the words of the Son of God. You know, his full title is the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He has appealed to the believer to take, to learn, to find. And now he encourages, he gives assurance to this believer who hops in the yoke with him. He says, the yoke is easy and the burden is light. You know, I've never known the Lord to ever impose a burden or put a strain beyond our strength in him being able to handle it. He will never impose or require any undertaking from us that is beyond the ability that he himself gives to us. And his yoke is easy, and that means that it is good. It's manageable. As opposed to a harsh or hard or bitter yoke. That's the yoke the devil wants people to hop into. Hopping into his yoke will be nothing but hard, bitter, barren. It'll grind you into the ground. But the Lord's yoke is gracious, good, and kind. And if you wonder why it's like that, is because we just don't realize that he carries the whole weight of it. All the burden is on him. You see, it's when he invites us to come into the yoke, the responsibility becomes his. The results are his burden, not ours. You know, he is the kindest, most compassionate, most considerate master that has ever, ever been on this earth. And he invites us to come, to draw near, and to follow. And again, I will remind us all, he says, take. He says, make a decision. Learn. Develop. Find. Discover that nothing we are asked to do should cause us to complain and whine, but confess that Jesus is Lord of all, and that there is nothing to fear in our daily lives when we live for him. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care on him. Why, brothers and sisters? For he careth for you. He carries the load. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the beautiful words of our Lord, and inviting us to step into service with him, that he will take and bear the burden for us as we walk in step by step with him, shoulder to shoulder alongside of him. We are so thankful that it's for our growth and for your glory. And we pray, Lord, that we would be very attentive in our hearts and spirits to your invitation to draw alongside you. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful blessing of our relationship with you through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise you for it. These things we pray in the precious name, with thanksgiving to you, Lord, for all things. Amen.